would you say if I said that I could bring them back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, alright, hold tight, you might want to stand back, because one small dawn is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
Tonight when he comes up here, he's either gonna kill or he's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
Welcome to St. John Forward Radio. This is the Christmas Eve edition. My deepest apologies and regret that I couldn't be there in the studio live. But I've got a very special treat for everybody. If you're a long-time listener, you know I have a long history with local FM. Not always called as such, but I started doing a radio show here with some friends way back in 2001, and that continued on and off until about 2011, I think, when we switched over to the podcast, which eventually disappeared, only to reemerge as St. John Forward Radio. But your special treat today is to listen to 20-year-old John Forward, along with my co-host Ryan McIntyre and Kaylin Capson. This is part one of our Christmas special from December 22nd, 2002. Enjoy.
All right, so here we are, live from the basement of the California Game Studio.
That's true. Who could have guessed we would have made it this far?
I would have guessed.
It's Friday night. We're pre-recording the show in the future.
It definitely is. I don't know what we're talking about. This is nonsense.
We're definitely from the future. We're in the California Game's basement.
It's true. Bet on the Yankees in 2018.
It's true.
If you haven't already guessed, you're listening to H to the C, and we have a special guest.
It's true, and it's the specialest person I've ever met, that's for sure. Me.
Are you saying you're more special than Santa Claus, John?
Santa Claus goes around house to house, giving out toys that his slave labor elves have made. He hasn't put anything into it, and he eats all of our cookies and milk, and the elves get nothing. That's disgusting.
But is it slave labor when the elves want to do the work, John? I mean, they look happy in all the movies and all the... Come on. Think about it.
Hollywood has a gross misrepresentation of elf kind everywhere, and it's terrible, and I'm here to fight that injustice tonight.
Yeah, but still, big companies get a lot of money, so that's good.
That is good, but at what expense, Ryan? What expense?
Well, obviously at the expense of slave labor. I mean, as long as the man's getting his dues, what do we worry about?
I'm sorry, I don't want to seem crass, but I just not concerned with the elves.
They're just little people, Ryan, like you and me, only smaller.
Did you know in Benin, you can sell kids into slave labor? It's $14 a child. Imagine if you caught some elves. I'm sure an elf does at least four times as much labor as a normal child. You could get, like, a lot of money for these elves.
I will agree that elves would be a very good solution to the world's child labor problem. But that still doesn't make it right.
Why not? Enslave a few elves. I mean,
well, it
they
actually
have to be Christmas elves.
Oh yeah, like, yeah, they have to be Christmas
forest
elves.
It's
true.
Are too free at heart to be enslaved.
It's true.
Christmas elves were breeded for slaving.
I guess
it's true. All
right, you guys win. The elves were born to do it, and why rob them of their right?
Merry Christmas, everybody.
And with that, we actually have a 15-minute Christmas track for you.
It's true.
Oh, yeah. We've got... the one that I brought?
Yeah.
All right. We have William S. Burroughs with the Disposable Heroes of Hip-Hopracy with a song... Well, he doesn't really sing. He just tells a story. But it's called Junkie's Christmas, and it's dedicated to St. John de Brunswick.
That's a pretty powerful piece, I imagine.
It's true. It casts a wonderful light on the Christmas season of junkies. So here it is.
It was Christmas Day, and Daddy the car wiper hit the street junk, sick and broke, after 72 hours in a precinct cell. It was a clear, bright day, but there was no warmth in the sun. Daddy shivered with a bitter cold. He turned up the collar of his worn, greasy black overcoat. This beat Benny Wooden pawn for a deuce, he thought. It was in the West 90s. A long block of brownstone rooming houses. Here and there a holly wreath in a clean black window. Danny's senses registered everything sharp and clear with the painful intensity of junk sickness. The light hurt his dilated eyes. He walked past a car, darting his pale blue eyes sideways in quick appraisal. There was a package on the seat, and one of the ventilator windows was unlocked. Danny walked on 10 feet, no one in sight. He snapped his fingers and went through a pantomime of remembering something and wheeled around. No one. Bad setup, he decided. Street get empty like this, I stand out conspicuous. Gotta make it fast. He reached for the ventilator window. A door opened behind him. Daddy whipped out a rag and began polishing the car windows. He could feel the man standing behind him. What are you doing? Danny turned as if surprised. Oh, just thought your car windows needed polishing, mister. The man had a frog face and a deep south accent. He was wearing a camel's hair overcoat. My car don't need polishing, nothing stole out of it neither. Danny slid sideways as the man grabbed for him. I wasn't looking to steal nothing, mister. I'm from the south too, Florida. Goddamn sneaking thief. Danny walked away fast and turned a corner. Better get out of the neighborhood. That hick is likely to call the law. He walked 15 blocks, sweat running down his body. There was a raw ache in his lungs. His lips drew back off his yellow teeth in a snarl of desperation. I got a score somehow, if I had some decent clothes. Then he saw a suitcase standing in a doorway. Good leather. He stopped and pretended to look for a cigarette. Funny, he thought. No one around. Inside, maybe, phoning for a cab. The corner was only a few houses away. Danny took a deep breath and picked up the suitcase. He made the corner, another block, another corner. The case was heavy. I got a score, all right, he thought. Maybe enough for a 16th in a room. Danny shivered and twitched, feeling a warm rum and heroin emptying into his vein. Let's have a quick look. He stepped into Morningside Park. No one around. Jesus, I never saw the town this empty. He opened the suitcase. Two long packages in brown wrapping paper. He took one out. It felt like meat. He tore the package open at one end, revealing a woman's naked foot. The toenails were painted with purple-red polish. He dropped the leg with a sneer of disgust. Holy Jesus, he claimed. The routines people put down these days. Legs! Well, I got a case anyway. He dumped the other leg out. No bloodstains. He snapped the case shut and walked away. Legs, he muttered. He found the buyer sitting at a table in Harrow's cafeteria. Thought you might be taking the day off, Danny said, putting the case down. The buyer shook his head sadly. I got nobody, so what's Christmas to me? His eyes traveled over the case, poking, testing, looking for flaws. What was in it? Nothing. What's the matter? I don't pay enough. I tell you, there wasn't nothing in it. Okay, so somebody travels with an empty suitcase. Okay, he held up three fingers. For Christ's sake, Skimpy, give me a nickel. You got somebody else, why don't he give you a nickel? It's like I say, the case was empty. Gimpy kicked at the case disparagingly. It's all nicked up and kind of dirty looking. He sniffed suspiciously. How come it stink like that? Mexican leather? So, am I in the leather business? Gimpy shrugged. Could be. He pulled out a roll of bills and peeled off three ones, dropping them on the table behind the napkin dispenser. You want? Okay, Danny picked up the money. You see George the Greek, he asked. Where are you, Ben? He got busted 2 days ago. Oh, that's bad. Danny walked out. Now where can I score, he thought. George the Greek had lasted so long, Danny thought of him as permanent. It was good age, too, and no short counts. Danny went up to 103rd and Broadway. Nobody in Harrow, nobody in the Automat. Yeah, he snarled, all the pushers off on the nod someplace. What they care about anybody else? So long as they get it in the vein. What they care about a sick junkie? He wiped his nose with one finger, looking around furtively. There was no one he knew in the 23rd Street Thompson's. Jeez, he thought, where is everybody? Clutched his coat collar together with one hand, looking up and down the street. There's Joey from Brooklyn. I'd know that hat anywhere. Joey, hey, Joey. Joey was walking away with his back to Danny. He turned around. His face was sunken, skull-like. The gray eyes glittered under a greasy gray felt hat. Joey was sniffing at regular intervals. His eyes were watering. No use asking him, Danny thought. They looked at each other with the hatred of disappointment. Guess you heard about George the Greek, Danny said. Yeah, I heard. He'd been up to 103rd? Yeah, just came from there. Nobody around. Nobody around any place, Joey said. I can't even score for goop balls. Well, Merry Christmas, Joey. See ya. Yeah, see ya. Danny was walking fast. He had remembered a croaker on 18th Street. Of course, the croaker had told him not to come back. Still, it was worth trying. The brownstone house with a card in the window. P.H. Zuniga, M.D. Danny rang the bell. He heard slow steps. The door opened and the doctor looked at Danny with bloodshot brown eyes. He said nothing. He just leaned there looking at Danny. Goddamn alcoholic, Danny thought. He smiled. Merry Christmas, Doctor. The doctor did not reply. You remember me, Doctor. Danny tried to edge past the doctor into the house. I'm sorry to trouble you on Christmas Day, but I've suffered another attack. Attack? Yes, facial neuralgia. Danny twisted one side of his face into a horrible grimace. The doctor recoiled slightly and Danny pushed into the dark hallway. Better shut the door, you'll be catching cold, he said jovially, shoving the door shut. The doctor looked at him, his face focusing visibly. I can't give you a prescription, he said. But doctor, this is a legitimate condition, an emergency, you understand. No prescription impossible. It's against the law. You took an oath, Doctor. I'm in agony. Danny's voice shot up to a hysterical, grating whine. The doctor winced and passed a hand over his forehead. Let me think. I can give you one quarter grain tablet. That's all I have in the house. But, Doctor, a quarter G. The doctor stopped him. If your condition is legitimate, you will not need more. If it isn't, I don't want anything to do with you. Wait right here. The doctor weaved down the hall, leaving a wake of alcoholic breath. He came back and dropped a tablet into Danny's hand. Danny wrapped the tablet in a piece of paper and tucked it away. There is no charge. The doctor put his hand on the doorknob. And now, my dear, but doctor, can't you inject the medication? No, you will obtain longer relief than using orally. Please not to return. The doctor opened the door. Well, this will take the edge off, and I still have money to put down on a room, Danny thought. Danny put down $2 on a $6 a week room in the West 40s, where he knew the landlord. He bolted the door and put his spoon, needle, and dropper on a table by the bed. He dropped the tablet in the spoon and covered it with a dropper full of water. He held a match under the spoon until the tablet dissolved. He tore a strip of paper, wet it, and wrapped it around the end of the dropper, fitting the needle over the wet paper to make an airtight connection. He dropped the piece of lint from his pocket into the spoon and sucked the liquid into the dropper through the needle, holding the needle in the lint to take up the last drop. Danny's hands trembled with excitement and his breath was quick. With a shot in front of him, his defenses gave way and junk sickness flooded his body. His legs began to twitch and ache. Cramp stirred in his stomach. Tears ran down his face from his smarting, burning eyes. He wrapped a handkerchief around his right arm, holding the end in his teeth. He tucked the handkerchief in and began rubbing his arm to bring out a vein. Guess I can hit that one, he thought, running one finger along a vein. He picked up the dropper in his left hand. Danny heard a groan from the next drum. He frowned with annoyance. Another groan. He could not help listening. He walked across the room, the dropper in his hand, and inclined his ear to the wall. The groans were coming at regular intervals, a horrible, inhuman sound pushed out from the stomach. Danny listened for a full minute. He returned to the bed and sat down. Why don't someone call a doctor, he thought indignantly. It's a bring down. He straightened his arm and poised the needle. He tilted his head, listening again. Oh, for Christ's sake. He tore off the handkerchief and placed the dropper in a water glass, which he hid behind the wastebasket. He stepped into the hall and knocked on the door of the next room. There was no answer. The groans continued. Danny tried the door. It was open. The shade was up and the room was full of light. He'd expected an old person somehow, but the man on the bed was very young, 18 or 20, fully clothed and doubled up with his hands clasped across his stomach. What's wrong, kid? Danny asked. The boy looked at him, his eyes blank with pain. Finally he got out one word, kidneys. Kidney stones, Danny smiled. I don't mean it's funny, kid, it's just... I faked it so many times, never saw the real thing before. I'll call an ambulance. The boy bit his lip. Won't come. Doctors won't come. The boy hid his face in the pillow. Danny nodded. They figure it's just another junkie throwing a winding for a shot. But your case is legit. Maybe if I went to the hospital and explained things, no, I guess that wouldn't be so good. Danny trailed off. Suddenly he put out his thin, dirty hand and touched the boy's shoulder. I'm sorry, kid. You wait. I'll fix you up. He went back to his room and got the dropper and returned to the boy's room. Roll up your sleeve, kid. The boy fumbled his coat sleeve with a weak hand. That's okay. I'll get it. Danny undid the shirt button at the wrist and pushed the shirt and coat up, barring a thin brown forearm. Danny hesitated, looking at the dropper. Sweat ran down his nose. The boy was looking up at him. Danny shoved the needle in the boy's forearm and watched the liquid drain into the flesh. He straightened up. The boy's face began to relax. He sat up and smiled. Say, that stuff really works, he said. You a doctor, mister? No, kid. The boy lay down, stretching. I feel real sleepy. Didn't sleep all last night. His eyes were closing. Danny walked across the room and pulled the shade down. He went back to his room and closed the door without locking it. He sat on the bed, looking at the empty dropper. It was getting dark outside. Danny's body ached for junk, but it was a dull ache now, dull and hopeless. Suddenly a warm flood pulsed through his veins and broke in his head like a thousand golden speedballs. For Christ's sake, Danny thought, I must have scored for the immaculate fix. The vegetable serenity of junk settled in his tissues. His face went slack and peaceful, and his head fell forward. Danny the car wiper was on the nod.
Get choked up every time I hear that. It's just like my childhood Christmases every year.
That's like the Garfield special Christmas for St. John.
Definitely, they should adapt it and put it on like Channel 10.
It's true, they should.
On yeah. Christmas
although
Day.
No one watches Channel 10, so
they would.
Kidney Stones plays Odie though.
It's true. They could make a musical form of it and have Garfield and Odie.
I bet all you people out there thought this is a really terrible story and it's not a Christmas story, but then at the end, it's a happy ending and everything's awesome. He gets the immaculate hit.
It's true.
The spirit of Christmas doesn't just lie in your pretty Christmas trees, people.
There's people out there that have a sickness, and it's Christmas for them too, only it's a lot harder. We should think about the junkies this year, everyone.
Well, not just the junkies, but everybody.
That's true. Think about everyone. Except for Brent Mason. That wonderful artist that will be playing at the Christmas show, I assume, later tonight, i.e. Wednesday when you're listening to this. So you should go out and check out Brent. He's a wonderful guy.
We'll be there.
We will be there. We'll be signing autographs if you can figure out who we are.
It's true.
If you can point us out and be like, you have to get our names right too. But if you come up to us and you're like, hey, you're on HCC, you're so-and-so. And we'll sign stuff for you.
It's true. We're all like 6 feet tall and have bright red afros.
And if you're really lucky, we'll even let you buy us beer.
Only if you're really lucky.
I don't know about that, but it is Christmas, so I suppose.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. So anyway, that was a touching story from William S. Burroughs, who wrote Naked Lunch with the Disposable Heroes of Hip-Hopracy. And yeah.
That was pretty crazy. I feel enlightened after hearing that.
It's true. It makes you feel even when you're hassling doctors to get junk, you can still do good things.
I've looked into the eyes of a crackhead after hearing that.
It's true. And only without the uncomfortableness of actually having to talk to one.
It's true. Very true.
I'm all for hearing them in CD form, but... I don't have any money for you, buddy.
Well, you know, it's an unfortunate thing living in St. John, having that regular encounter with local
angels
abusers.
I don't know. But, yeah, it's a serious issue, people. Not to be taken lightly. Anyway, up next, more in the Christmas spirit than ever. What are we playing? We're playing some Tool and... Rage Against the Machine, and...
Which is actually part of a request that's been running for 2 weeks now.
Yeah, we're a little slack on the requests sometimes. So if you request something and we don't play it, it's nothing personal, we're just...
It hurts us more than it hurts you.
But the good news is the pack has been completely beefed up.
It's true, it is a beefy... It's a super pack, if you will.
Yeah.
It's been injected with the... What's that word? Never mind, I forgot what I was going to say.
I was watching
with
an infomercial
of the last song
earlier this week, and there was like a plunger that you could stick into meat and plunge things like garlic or cheese, like right into the middle of a like chicken breast.
They do that on the Propeel infomercial.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
The
it
juice, was the juice injector.
Whatever happened with just the old classic syringe? I mean,
I don't know.
You get like, a juice injector now.
One for you. One for me.
He was injecting like entire cloves of garlic into this like pour.
I would inject butter. Oh, butter. Could you imagine? It would be amazing. It'd be like a real butterball.
I would inject cake icing.
You would too, wouldn't you?
Mm-mm.
Sugar-filled pork.
Ooh, now we're getting fancy here.
It's true, I won't say what I'll inject.
We know what you'll inject.
It's true, it doesn't need to be said, really.
Hot beef.
It's true. Injection.
Speaking of hot beef, I almost bought you an Orlando Bloom calendar, Ryan.
Oh, really?
Because I remember your story about how you think he's so dreamy. And
as long as the poster is invisible from the shower, everything will be okay.
Yeah, it's true. Other than that, we'll have to buy you 12 shower curtains to go with.
See, the good thing about posters is that, you know, they're up against a wall, so there's a nice solid surface behind them. You don't really have to worry about, like, breaking anything.
It's true.
It's true. So, yeah, to continue explaining the songs that we were playing, and just to step out of the Christmas spirit for just a moment after that, there's an Axis of Justice Volume 1 CD that came out recently. I'm not sure when, but I got it last week. And Axis of Justice is a concert thing that Tom Morello and Serge Tankian from System of a Down put together. And there's a bunch of various musicians, Flea's on there, and the drummer from Rage Against the Machine that I'm not going to tell you their name because it's a secret.
The world's biggest secret.
It's true. And other people. So, along with the Rage Against the Machine, Tool, and System of a Down that we're going to play, we're going to play some of the songs off that. And that is also a surprise.
Also, if you do know the drummer, not the drummer himself, but the drummer's name from Rage Against the Machine, you should call in right now.
At 648-5925.
And if you're the ninth caller, and we do answer your call, we have an amazing, amazing prize for you. It's, what do we have for them?
$1,000 in cash.
Whoa. In the trunk of a brand new Ferrari.
And so yeah, you have to call in right now. You have 10 minutes to call in.
But if you're the 10th caller, we're not going to answer the phone.
You lose. You got to be the 9th. We'll answer every call up to 9. After then, there's no go. Game's over.
So if we don't answer the phone, it's because you called too late.
And you apparently are too slow on the draw. So sorry about that.
Definitely.
Note, the offer is null and void if you can dial a phone.
True. And I'd also like to note that as we speak, Ryan is sensuously rubbing lotion onto his bare legs.
You know, I've never seen anybody rub lotion on themselves like you, Ryan. Do you know, 2 weeks ago, John, he took his pants off?
That's no surprise. Get to the meat of the story.
There was a live airing of Ryan.
Of Ryan taking off his pants?
Of Ryan taking off his pants.
Yeah, there was a little strip show on the radio.
That sounds hot.
Oh, it was hot. And
the thing about the strip show is it sounds hot, but it's even hotter in person than it sounds.
It's true.
Radio. Like, if you would...
The windows are totally steamed up in here right now.
I know it's getting steamy just talking about it now, but if you had heard it, the live broadcast, like heard me taking off my pants on the radio...
Oh, man.
You would have been through the roof with...
You would have been like Ryan in the shower with a picture of Orlando Bloom.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Only there'd be drywall getting taken out. So, anyway, let's play those songs that we vaguely hinted at.
Used to be a bunch of assholes that lived in this part of the building here. But we systematically removed them like you would any kind of termite or roach.
Home, they want to Grip my family, but I slipped to escape from the pain in an existence mundane. I got a 9, a sign, a set, and now I got a name. We love writing on the wall.
You can put whatever slant on it you like, but if you want to say your name and that you're listening to 107.3 local FM.
Community Boys.
Community Boys. to believe you were strong in forming violence. We were strong performing silence. I do believe you are strong performing violence. We are strong performing silence. We are deceived all the toys of our convenience, opening our hearts to the brilliance. We are deceived all the toys of our convenience, opening our hearts to the brilliance. Love is strong, hearing its loudest gunfire away. Never wrong, constantly dreaming of another way. Love is wrong, go ahead and end the world with your charades. Never wrong, constantly dreaming of another way.
Could I get some more piano, please?
I do believe you are strong in forming violence. We are strong performing silence. I do believe you are strong in forming violence. We are strong performing silence. We are deceived all the toys of our convenience, opening our hearts to the brilliance. We are deceived all the toys of our convenience, opening our hearts to the brilliance. Love is strong, hearing its loudest gunfire away. Never wrong, constantly dreaming of another way. If love is wrong, go ahead and end the world with your charades. Never wrong, constantly dreaming of another. Find me a red bag, one without a tag. Hope that you are near, valiantly appear. Find me a red bag. Find me a red bag, one without a tag. Hope that you are near, valiantly appear. Find me a red
behind the curtain, and no one questions why. The only time we got is right about now. I cross my heart, I take the vow, I'll never turn, I'll never bend. I'm with you now. Till the end. Tonight's the test, tonight's the time. I am the punishment that fits the crime. I'll break the bricks, I'll pick the locks. I don't got nothing, but I'll give what I got. I'll never turn, I'll never bend. I'm with you now. Trials whose outcomes all fixed from the start. Nine judges sitting counting their money in the dark. Eight towers of iron surround the desert town. On a cold December morning, seven martyrs knock them down. Forefathers still waiting for their five sons to come home. Six mothers who know better and accept that they're gone. 4 years I've been hunted, still I breathe free. Three times I shot the sheriff and did not spare the deputy. Two prayers I'm praying until we're together. One promise I'm keeping tonight and forever. I'll never turn, I'll never bend. I'm with you now until the end. I'll never turn, I'll never bend. I'm with you now. Till the end.
Thank you.
concert series. We have the power to change our lives and the world around us. Thank you.
And we're back. And that was just a bunch of songs. So we should probably say what we played, since we never really told you before. But so now there's no more surprise, because you've heard them and obviously figured out what they were. We started out with... What did we start out with? A Tool song of some kind. What do we play?
Jerk Off Live from Opiate.
And then, after that, we played... Why don't you just tell them what we played for the first song, because I don't remember. The first three. Actually, what was the Rage Against the Machine song?
The Rage Against the Machine song was Settle for Nothing from right. Self-titled album.
And then after that, we played Jet Pilot, I believe, by System of a Down off Toxicity. And then, because people don't have an attention span and they just randomly hit buttons on their radios and they don't know where they are, we had a station ID saying that this is CFMH 92.5.
On our FM dial.
It's true, this is an AM, so just in case you had that confused while you were listening to us, and you thought that this was 92.5 AM, you're wrong.
I'm sure that happens a lot.
It's true. Even though it's impossible, I'm sure a lot of people are idiots.
We should have actual awareness meetings about the differentiation between FM and AM radio.
This is very true. I don't even know what they stand. Actually, it's amplitude modulation and frequency modulation.
Yeah. Oh, there's physics and practical memory usage.
Oh, yeah. My degree is paying for itself. All right, and then we heard songs from the Axis of Justice Concert Series Volume 1 CD that you can get. It's only like $21, I think, and it comes with a CD and a DVD with a bunch of songs on it. First, we heard Serge Tankian from System of a Down solo doing charades. And then the Night Watchman, who's actually Tom Morello, did Until the End. And then Flea with Brad Wilk, Tom Morello, Pete Yorn, Tim Walker, Serge Tankian, and Maynard James Keenan, and Johnny Polonsky did a cover of U2's Where the Streets Have No Name.
And for those of you who did not call in to win our prize, what's the drummer's name? It's Brad Wilk?
Brad Wilk.
Brad Wilk. So you lost, and that's his name, Brad Wilk. And we keep the truck, and we keep the prize money.
It's a Ferrari.
A Ferrari.
Yes, this, it was.
We get the truck that brought over the Ferrari.
It's true.
So
that was just our bonus for being so cool.
Yep. And because there's unknown forces controlling us, we have to stop talking right now. So Bob Marley is coming up next. What song are we playing?
It's a good question. A little bit of chaos.
Is it a surprise?
It's a surprise.
All right. We're going to surprise you all in a minute, and then a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
One good thing about music, when it hits you, you feel okay. Well, I say one good thing about music, when it hits you, you feel okay. Hit me with music. Hit me with music now. This is
Trenchtown Rock.
Don't watch that
Trenchtown Rock.
Big fish or sprat now.
Trenchtown Rock.
You reap what you sow.
Trenchtown Rock.
And only judge I know.
Trenchtown Rock.
I'll never turn my back.
Trenchtown Rock.
I'll give the slum a try.
Trenchtown Rock.
I'll never let the children cry.
Trenchtown Rock.
All you got to tell judge oh why. It's Kingston 12.
Ruben.
It's Kingston 12.
Ruben.
It's Kingston 12 now.
Ruben.
It's Kingston 12.
No, why you come down so?
Oh no.
No, why you come down so?
Scabba dip, scabba dip. Scabba dip, dip, scabba dip, scabba dip. Whoa, whoa. One good thing about music, when it is,
you feel no pain.
Feel no pain.
Kingston 12. It's Kingston 12.
So tune in next week on Monday, December 31st, where I assume you don't have anything else to do, for part two of the H to the C 2002 20-year-old John Forward and Friends Christmas special. Look forward to about 10,000 more utterances of the phrase, "It's true," because it is true. And Merry Christmas.